Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Then the other criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, the recent election has got me thinking about who the president is. You know, we have a new president to elect. And so it's made me think about, what is it that the president actually does? Do you know? You know, the Constitution gives the president some pretty amazing powers. He's able to sign treaties with foreign nations, long pacts to make, he can make temporary laws through executive orders. He can also appoint people to various positions. In fact, he has to appoint over 2,000 positions to begin his government. And he can also veto any act of Congress that he himself disagrees with, no matter how much they like it. All these powers, though, that he has, that I've listed so far, they're actually things that can be overridden in some way, that the Congress or the Supreme Court can undo. But you know what? The president has a power which is greater than any of these other powers. Do you know what it is? He has an amazing power, and I'll give you some time to think about it. The president, every single president has used this power many times, just about. Our first president, George Washington, only used this power 16 times. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt used it over 3,687 times. Amazing. There's only two presidents that we've had in our history that didn't use it, and that's William Henry Harrison and James Garfield. And the only reason they didn't use it is because they weren't in office long enough. William Henry Harrison died after a month of being president. And Garfield died after 6 months because he was assassinated. Otherwise, they would have got around to doing it. This power of the president is so powerful that not even the Supreme Court, not any act of Congress can ever undo it. Do you know what this power is? The greatest power that the president has? You see, the greatest power, what? That's exactly right. The deacon is really smart. The power to pardon. The presidential power to pardon. That's the greatest gift that he can do. It says in Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, it says that the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. And the president, in this power, is completely unchecked. You may remember some of the times when it's been used in the past, right? Remember President Nixon and that whole Watergate cover-up scandal? Well, President Gerald Ford absolved him of it, giving him the presidential pardon. Maybe you remember President Carter, who pardoned all those people who were draft dodgers, all those who were fleeing the Vietnam War to Canada and other places. He just gave them all a pardon. The presidential pardon is something which is irreversible. Whatever is forgiven in the pardon is forgiven forever and can never be used against them. There's no way that it can be changed, no matter how egregious the crime may be. All the criminal has to do is ask the president for it. And then if he thinks it's a worthy cause, if they're really penitent, if they've had a change of heart, he can grant it to them. No questions asked. Right now, everybody's wondering whether Hillary Clinton is going to be pardoned for her email scandal by President Trump or by President Obama. Either of them can do it. And if she does get that pardon, then never again can these crimes ever be held against her, whatever may have happened there. It's 100% forgiven if they just give it to him. She won't have to account for any of those things. That's the president. The president, being just one man, has this awesome and irreversible power in his person to show mercy. The president can grant forgiveness for a guilty person that immediately at that moment nullifies any punishment that they could receive. That's an incredible power, isn't it? All invested in one man. Today we celebrate something really special. We celebrate the feast of Christ the King. He's not just Christ the King like our president is president over us. He's not an earthly power, but he's rather King of the universe, King of all things. And when we celebrate Christ King of the universe, we recognize that all is under his control, that there's not a single thing that escapes him. His power is unchecked by anybody, and nobody can overrule him, because his passion, his death, and his resurrection show to us that not even death which each one of us is going to face someday, can hold power over Jesus Christ. He destroyed it all. That's why he is our king. Jesus Christ, our king, has all the powers that a natural king has too, just like our president has, but taken to the infinite degree, unlimited. And he can even pardon just like our president pardons. And our gospel talks about that, doesn't it? Our gospel brings that to the fore. What do we have there? Our deacon read it for us, Deacon Edward. We have, who is it that are those main characters at the cross? We have those two criminals, one on either side of Jesus. We often talk about them as the good thief and the bad thief. But they weren't thieves, simple pickpockets. These were insurrectionists. These were men who were trying to take down the Roman government. And because of that, they were sentenced to death, to die on either side of Jesus. But they both talk to him, right? They both are asking him for the same thing, and what is that? Both of them want pardons. Both of them want forgiveness, want to be able to move on. But they go about it in different ways. The first criminal, basically when he turns to Jesus, he just says, hey, look above your head, I see that inscription up there. I-N-R-I. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudorum, which means Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. So he says to him, look, it says above your head that you're the King of the Jews. I'm a Jew. Why don't you set me free? You can pardon me if you really are King of the Jews. And get yourself off the cross. Get my body off the cross too. His conception of Jesus is as an earthly king. But is Jesus an earthly king? No, he's not. I saw a few of you shaking your heads. He's not an earthly king, because what does he say in John chapter 18? John chapter 18, he has that dialogue with Pontius Pilate. Pilate asks the same question, are you a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. So the second criminal goes at it in a different way. The second criminal has a different mindset. When he turns to Jesus and he basically says, hey, look, Jesus, I know I deserve death. I'm guilty of this crime. I've tried to tear down the government. But I see that you're a king too. You're not just a king, but you are the king. And right now, I want you to be my king. To be my king today, I know that both of us are going to die today. Neither of us is going to get off this cross. Not before we die. Please, Jesus, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. See, this criminal recognizes that Jesus isn't just an earthly king, but he's king of both heaven and earth. King of everything. He recognizes Jesus as king of the universe, just like we celebrate today. And so there's a difference between these two criminals, isn't there? The first criminal just wants a pardon so that he can go on with the rest of his life, can walk through the streets of Jerusalem as a free man. But the second criminal doesn't just want to walk through the streets of Jerusalem, but he wants to walk through the streets of the New Jerusalem as a free man, freed by Christ's love. The first criminal just wants to be freed so he can keep on doing whatever it is that he was doing before. No change whatsoever. He's not looking for a change within himself, just a change in his exterior situation. But that second criminal wants to change himself. Wants to be changed. Wants a change of the government of his life. He wants Jesus to be able to fight for him so that he doesn't have to fight anymore. He wants to lay claim to the victory that Jesus wins on that cross. The second criminal changes his mindset so that his eternity can be changed. This change of heart is the only thing that elicits a response from Jesus from the cross. And what does he say to him? When he asks him for pardon, Jesus says to him, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. If there's any person we can ever say that there is in heaven, we know it's this man, whose 1 hour of faith, despite all the horrible things he had done in his life, is in heaven because he asked pardon of Jesus. Now our Lord puts us those two examples before us of these two criminals. But he puts it before us for a reason, because which side do we find ourselves on? Are we like that first criminal? Do we want to have pardon just so that we can keep on going on in our ways, keep on sinning? Do we want just to let our exterior situation change without changing our person? Do we want to not feel guilty for the things that we have done because we think if we just work hard enough on our own, we're going to make it? Or do we have the mindset of the second criminal, the good thief? Are we looking for Jesus so that he can change our hearts? Do we want to learn from him how to stop fighting ourselves and let Jesus fight for us? Do we want to lay claim to the victory that Jesus won on the cross and experience a change of heart that actually changes our eternity? Is that what we're looking for? Because each of us here know, because we're here at Mass today, that we're not perfect, that we don't have all of our stuff together. That's why we come to Mass. That's why we're Catholics. We want pardon, right? We want a pardon. And we're all, therefore, in the same boat as Richard Nixon, as Hillary Clinton, as these two thieves on the cross or those draft dodgers. We all need forgiveness. We've all sinned. We've all done shady stuff in our lives and rebelled against the kingdom of Christ. Maybe our Watergate scandal is trying to cover up some lies that we've done, which keep cascading into more and more lies and getting out of control. Maybe our draft dodging is trying to avoid standing up for Christ, maybe when we go to work or when we're out there eating in public and don't want to pray and make the sign of the cross. Maybe it's avoiding fighting for his truth when we pass into that voting booth. Maybe the email scandal that's going on within us is being mean to others in our private conversations, in our emails, in our text messages, gossip. Maybe it's putting our family at risk by not protecting them from watching TV programs that are going to destroy their souls. Or those late night Google searches that defile us in body and in soul. We make a mess of things, don't we? We're human beings. We sin. We cause hurt in our relationships with ourselves, but also with others. We need pardon. And the only person who can pardon us is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is King of the universe, and he wants to pardon us. He wants to forgive us, and that's why he gives us the sacrament of confession. How often do we make use of it? You know, just like a pardon that our president can give, it's absolute. It's complete. It covers everything. All we have to do is ask for that pardon, prepare ourselves to receive it. The pardon of Jesus Christ, King of the universe, wipes away all of our sins forever, and they can never be held against us, no matter how bad they may be. And even though the president can only pardon things that by writing a decree that everybody can see, when Jesus pardons us in the confessional, nobody has to know what we've done. It all stays there, erased for all eternity. Nothing can ever be held against us. And all that's required is a change of our own heart, a change of our heart to be willing to let him forgive us. The power of the confessional is absolute, and if we ask Jesus for pardon in the confessional, he's going to take it all away. He removes all of our sins, because what do we know that it says in Romans? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything that we could ever do, that's what he gives us in the confession. Because in reality, brothers and sisters, you know, our life is really simple. To be a Christian is really simple. If Jesus Christ really is King of the universe, then we know that he can give us an eternal and irrevocable absolute pardon. Confession is where we ask for that pardon. And confession is where he gives that pardon. Why don't we go to confession? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.